From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alec Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Romans chapter 12 as he brings the next portion of a message called Serving with a Savor of Christ. The theme of the chapter is the Christian's response to the gospel. Paul began by exhorting believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is their reasonable service. In this message, Dr. Cairns urges believers to serve the Lord, remembering what Christ has done for them, and to seek to show that love to others by the way they live. We're called upon to apply the Bible's teachings to every area of life, whether in the church or among unbelievers. Paul reminds God's people that the gifts they have come from God alone, and no one should look down on another who does not have the same gifts. All of the Christian life is a demonstration of God's grace. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 9 and verse 19. Bring him unto me. Despairingly, the poor disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one, when the parent in faith obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, Bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one receipt for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. Oh, for more agonizing prayer on their behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into a world of sin. In the days of their youth we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit which will neither pray aright, nor hear the voice of God in the soul. But Jesus still commands, Bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin, and foam with enmity against God. Then, when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, Bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers His people to be driven into a corner, that they may experimentally know how necessary He is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength, and this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our morning's need may be, let it, like a strong current, bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to Him while He waits to meet us.
Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Tell you, when you put blood before the body of Christ, you're denying the gospel. I thank God I never had this dilemma, but I well remember when God called me into the ministry as a very young man. You can see that, for I've been preaching for 45 years, and some sarcastic person will say you would never know it, but I started very young. My mother was a foundation member of the church that I didn't grow up in it from way down, but from about 11 years old I grew up, and most of what I learned in that church. She was a foundation member there. In many ways it was a wonderful church to grow up in. Many ways it was not. Every time it would get into blessing, there'd be some idiotic dispute where people would fall out with each other, and they would cause consternation and trouble. And I remember as I went into the ministry, before God I vowed, nobody had ever said a word to me about it. And my mom, thank the Lord, had never been anything but the friend and counselor of everybody in that church. I remember saying to the Lord, if the time ever comes when in the church has to judge my own mother, by the grace of God, I will stand by God's word and God's church, and I will do what is right. I'm glad, and I say it to her honor and to her memory, that never did that situation ever arise. But that was the fixation of my heart. And that's what it's got to be. Before everything. You see, the picture that's being painted here of someone working within the unity of the body of Christ is one who believes the gospel and is going to do everything in his power to build up the body of Christ, to maintain the body of Christ in unity, in community. There is a difference. The key to community is communion. It's the same word as fellowship. In charity. I wish I could take time to preach in those words. In charity. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn, is to deal with each other in charity. One of the hardest lessons to learn. See, I can speak from experience. I wish I could tell you honestly that what I'm telling is all theoretical, that I've seen it in other rascals and I've never felt it, that I've never been there. But honesty compels me to say that here I speak from experience, that my judgment of other people's attitudes, actions, intentions, meanings, or whatever, is so often colored by the way I'm already feeling. And that feeling has been caused by things completely outside of the control of the people that I may get mad at. When you get into that place, there is a feature, it's not a very attractive feature of human nature, but there is a feature of human nature that almost always comes through. And again, I plead guilty. I've been there and done that too many times. What I'm talking about is, if I'm in that frame of mind, there is a propensity to put the worst possible construction on what that other person has said or done or not said or not done. Or to take their words that could be taken quite innocently. I'm thinking of a minister at the moment who said something to a parishioner that in itself was innocuous and true, but taken and put into another set of circumstances by that man, deliberately knowing that it couldn't be true in that situation, and then broadcasting it, my minister's a liar. I want to tell you, brethren, that's not acting in the body of Christ. That's not the response of the gospel. The response of the gospel is to maintain and build up this body in unity, community, in charity. In charity. And in activity. In other words, this is not theoretical. This is not sitting down there spinning little theological theories as to how the church ought to operate and how it ought to be one and how the communion and the fellowship ought to be. Let me turn you to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We are told to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a beautiful statement in the Authorized Version of the Scriptures. Not a thing wrong with the translation. It's exact, precise, beautifully crafted. And yet I have to say that so many are the clauses in it that people get lost halfway through and they don't know what it's talking about. So I want you to come through it again now. We're to grow up into Christ in all things, for He's the head. From Him our head, the whole body is joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies. Do you see what he's saying? You look at a corpse and you can say that corpse is one body. But not for long. It's decaying and degenerating. Why? Because the parts of it are not contributing anything. They're all decaying. And this is what Paul is arguing here. He says, the body of Christ as a vital living body is joined, it's knit together by what every joint supplies. And that's according to the effective working by which every part does its own particular and peculiar share. Every part has something to contribute. And that's how the body grows. Translated, it maketh increase of the body. That's how a body grows. Every part of the body is growing and it's supplying something. Every part of the body is contributing its proper share. And as the body grows spiritually, then it edifies itself in love. And that's what Paul is arguing for, not only in Ephesians, but also here in Romans chapter 12. Again, at this third verse, he's saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. In context, he's talking about people who have particular gifts. Now, some people have one gift, some people have another. And contrary to what you may think about yourself, according to this portion of Scripture, there is a proportion or a portion of faith that is given to every Christian, and every Christian has something to contribute to the proper working and growth of the body of Jesus Christ. That's true of the newest born babe in Christ, just as it is of the most learned theologian. We all have different gifts. We have all different portions or proportions of faith. Now, Paul is saying, you ought not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I have known people who, and I have to tell you, these people have to be peculiarly mentally challenged. But I have known people who were preachers, and they were so proud of their own preaching ability. I have to say that anybody who can stay in this job and not go home with his head between his knees almost every week, I don't understand them. I don't understand them. The number of times I ever leave the pulpit and feel, many a time I can thank God for what He has done. But the number of times I've ever walked out of the pulpit saying, well, thank God for what I have done, I couldn't tell you how often that has happened. Or should I say how infrequently that has happened. I can't even remember the last time it happened. I don't know if it ever happened. I do remember times going home and looking for the nearest mouse hole and wondering, could I get in there? What does a preacher have to be arrogant about? You may have another gift. You're able to do this, you're able to do that, you're able to do the other thing. Other people around you may not have those gifts. So what? You think you're more important to them in the church than they are? You know the church I was brought up in? Until he blew it by getting out of sorts with other people because he wanted one preacher and they were calling another whom he loved but wasn't the one he wanted. till he got himself out of sorts over something as crazy as that. The church I was brought up in, the man, and God, of course, will be the final judge of this, but as far as I could tell, the man who contributed most to the well-being of the church outside of the pulpit ministry was a man whose only gift that I could see, he was not a speaker, he was not a singer, he was not a musician, he was not a brain box, he had no education, he had no nothing, but he had something every church would pray that it had. He was a man who had a gift that could stand at the door, and when you were walking up, about a, what length is the pathway up to Mount Marion Church? The old days, maybe 30 yards. On a winter's night, people huddled up, walking up there, and under the lamp there was Jimmy. And he had a smile on his face and a welcome as he stretched out his hand. You'd have walked through blizzards just to get it. You say not much of a gift? Ah, yes, a great gift. A great gift. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you want to think. Because you see, everything you have is given by grace. If you can sing, who gave you the voice to sing? Or you say, I've practiced, well, who gave you the voice to practice? You've got brains. What did you ever do to get those brains? Not a thing. Who maketh thee to differ? It's all the grace of God. And if it's God's gift to you, why on earth would you be uppity about it? And especially, why would you ever despise someone who doesn't have it? I think we're reaching a place, you know, in parts, especially of the Reformed Church, where they value brains more than they value spirituality. And those with great brain power look disparagingly upon brethren who are not so blessed with the gray matter. But they may have a whole lot more in their heart. They may have a whole lot more in their heart. Who made you to differ? Paul is saying here, whatever you have, you've got by gift and by grace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.